I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Writer Steve Weddle wrote three murder mysteries that almost got published. Then he wrote Country Hardball, which is currently between covers and available online or in your local bookstore. Country Hardball is not a traditional novel. Instead, it's structured as a series of interrelated stories.
The way I try to describe the book is, if you're standing up in the corner of a room and you take 25 hula hoops and you throw them into the middle of the room, some of those hula hoops are going to overlap and some of them are going to be kind of off on their own. So some of the stories connect a little. Some of them connect quite a bit. You'll see characters moving from here and there. Oddly enough, my master's thesis was on Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, the bit players in Hamlet. So I've been interested in, well, what goes on behind the scene, you know, after the story's over, before the story, and then that's sort of the backstory of the story. And so when I would write a story, I would say, well, I'm a little more interested in this character and how they came to this, so that I got a better understanding of where they all came from in terms of community. And eventually, you end up writing, or I ended up writing, a number of stories from a number of different points of view. To me, telling the story, the overall story in fragments, was the only way that I could do it. I didn't want to tell a novel, because I had written three failed attempts that said, you know, page one, guy goes to the 7-Eleven, but on the way, he discovers a dead body. So for the next 250 pages, hey, where did that dead body come from? Right? And then on page 300, oh, great, Fred did it. I knew he was no good.
You wanted
right?
the hula hoop effect.
Right.
Hula hoop, hula hoop. Why don't you go and roll your hoop?
In Country Hardball, Steve Weddle writes of the people and the places he knew as a kid. And the book was sort of birthed by those murder mystery struggles.
I grew up on the Louisiana-Arkansas border. My maternal grandmother lived just across the border in Columbia County, where most of these stories take place, and I lived on the Louisiana side, my parents. And so in the book, you've got, for example, you have churches that are in Columbia County. You have the Piggly Wiggly in Spring Hill, that has a dead elephant, actually really for reals, buried behind it, which is in the book. So you have all these very particular places. You have a gas station, a convenience store, where I worked as a kid. So all these elements are existent in the book.
Why this book? How did it start? It starts the story?
It started as a couple of stories about one of the characters. I had written three mystery novels that, are, as of yet, unpublished and possibly completely unpublishable. And so while my agent was, I wrote one, I got an agent, she liked it, we started shopping that one, and I started writing a sequel to the novel that no one wanted yet, which is not the way to do it. You're familiar with the process, I think. You say, well, this one's going to sell great, so I need to get the other one ready for, you know, so that way you can sell a multi-movie deal, you know? It didn't quite work out that way. And the first, you know, we got close on a number of things, as happens with these things. And it's always, the editors at the different houses will say, you know, I like the writing, I like some of the sentences, I like the way this works. I really like this guy's writing, I just don't like this writing, you know? So whatever about the story or the plot. So they might want a bigger story, they might want a smaller story, so you tinker with that. And eventually I'll say, well, what I want to do is combine some of the elements from the first mystery book with the second mystery book and make a third mystery book that no one wants. Eventually, my agent suggested, hey, maybe you should try writing something people want to read. So I decided to give that a shot.
But your agent stuck with you.
She did. She's fantastic. And so, you know, she said, you know, you seem to be working on some of these other characters in this story. I had written a story that's in the book called Purple Holes.
Mm-hmm.
I had written a story called The Ravine, which mm-hmm. is one of the early ones. And I think Good Money. And all three of those stories have to do with Roy Allison, who is a small town boy who caused a car accident that cost him the lives of his mother and father. And so he blames himself for this. He's had some trouble, halfway houses, prisons, jails, that sort of thing. And he's coming back, trying to get his life back together, essentially moves in with his grandmother. So he's moved back to his hometown, trying to be a better person. So I found this idea intriguing because I think most of us try to be better people at one time or another.
Steve Weddle got his MFA at LSU in poetry when he was 22 and newly married.
After I got my MFA, my wife and I were in Baton Rouge, no children, and we could have gone anywhere. And I suggested going to Montana because, you know, there's not a lot of people around. It's like in Barfly, the Charles Bukowski character, he says, it's not that I don't like people, I just feel a lot better when they're not around, you know? So I said, why don't we go to Montana or Wyoming or something? But we moved to Virginia because my wife's family lives here now. And I taught college for a couple of years, and I ended up making ads at a weekly newspaper. So I was the ad designer there, fill-in part-time. I did a little reporting there, and I moved from there to be the editor of another paper in the family, and I was editor there for 10 years. And then after that—
the newspaper family.
The newspaper family. Yeah. So all in the same side of the newspaper family. And so I moved from one paper as ad compositor to be the editor of another paper in the same group for 10 years, and then 5 years ago moved to another paper in the group to become publisher. And then at the end of last year, my boss quit, and I am the corporate vice president for half a dozen papers in Virginia, technically. So
you want to mention the names?
For Lakeway Publishing.
Okay.
And so we have six papers in Virginia. So, you know, it wasn't that long ago. I was, hanging out, making ads and writing sports stories for a weekly paper. And again, the idea that, you know, you start out, you're writing poems, which the idea is very detail-oriented, very crisp sentences, very particular, very concerned with the wording. And then you move from that to writing newspaper stories, very crisp, very detail-oriented, yeah, very precise. And then you move from that to writing short stories. And my style, I don't have a lot, you know, I think it's hard for a writer to talk about his or her own style because you don't really see
it
through the same
point. Yeah.
You're like, I don't know, it's just the thing that I do.
Yeah.
But I think my style is fairly stripped down.
It is.
Well, it's not, you know, there's not a whole lot of adverbs, not a whole lot of what I consider fluff, not a whole lot of, you know, spending a few pages talking about the colors.
You stay immersed in the story, right, for me, rather than being aware of the writer's technique.
Well,
which
so that's
the, my highest praise.
Well, then I will take that and say thank you. But, you know, that ties into, you know, being brought up to write poems and then writing newspaper stories for a long time, and now, you know, writing short stories too. It's all the same sort of thread that runs through, I think, you know, if you're going to make that sort of whatever quilt or afghan or whatever you want to make, you know, those patches kind of fit together because it's the same sort, you know, it fits together in terms of detail-oriented but precise. Not fluff details, just very, very precise, subtle and precise. Come together.
You'll find a link to Steve Weddle's website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.